Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Around the Battleground. My name is LHS and I am your host as always. And joining me today, basically honorary co-host at this point, we've got Mr. Andy Andrew Barlow, the Alpha Jackal. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. We had some really great matches today, and I have a lot to talk about. I'm pretty sure you have a lot to talk about. It hasn't been that long. Usually we go a little bit longer in between having you on the show, but thanks to you being out of pro work, should we say, schedules open up a little bit more. Frees you up a little bit. It's kind of nice. I kind of like this new Jackal, the reformed Jackal. I don't know if we want to call it that.
I don't know about reformed. I'm still bantering on Twitter. Still doing what I usually do. But
yeah, I
do find that I had to have a bit more time these days. Even if the scrim schedule is still the same as it was back on Rival, it's a bit more laid back, I'd say.
Yeah. So for everybody who doesn't know, and I don't know how you couldn't know, being as Jackal's like one of the most, you know, high level coaches we have, most high visible, I should say. You're now coaching Poppies. Well, Queso, I can't get it out of my head. They're always going to be
no one can.
Poppies to me. They are Team Queso, and that's kind of really exciting for me. This is kind of the year I feel like where the foreign teams, you've got, you know, Sanguine picking up YSO Serial, and then now the EUSML has, you know, Queso, Poppies being picked up in a really big way, and this is kind of like their year to really kind of shine, and I'm really excited to see what you guys did. Looking at this last week's games, I'm really excited. I think I like immediately drank picks and bans of game one. I DM'd you and was like, I love what you're doing. I'm a big fan of your work. and it's kind of refreshing to see some of that, especially in the SML, because SML usually just feels like it's like the SPL, but very condensed into just like, it's the Kali of leagues. It's just all about aggressive and not really experimenting a lot outward. They kind of just do their own thing. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad analogy, especially now that Kali's meta. Yeah, but
half meta. I think it's got a lot more meta this patch though, because changes to Akival and Asi they are super dumb right now.
Yeah, Aussie is. I just don't understand how that happened. But yeah, that's a topic for another time. We should start off. You know, we've got SML. We've got an SML coach now, so we'll start there. Obviously, we won't be able to go as in depth into some things just because, you know, he is as the coach of a team. But this week we saw a really interesting thing. We saw Queso against Outcold, and at the onset of the year, I think unanimously Outcold and Simplicity probably at the top two. But that's really not how things have really shaken up to be. If we look at the standings for EUSML right now, we see that that is the Pro League results from today. Let's pivot and
that's
look
later.
At the EU SML. That's for later. We're going to go back and look at the earlier stuff.
Hashtag spoilers, Flashpoint, by the way, if you guys want to watch the match.
Yeah, hashtag spoilers. We've got Flashpoint in the lead, 3 wins, 1 losses. Simplicity, 2-2. Queso, 2-2. Outcold sitting at the 1-3. Down there at the bottom of the pack, and they just haven't looked anywhere near the team that we were expected to see, and a little bit of that I think might come from, there we go, there we see our fancy Smite minor league, Flashpoint in the lead, and then Simplicity Queso with 0-0, and then -3 for Outcold. Do you think Outcold can recover from this, and B, what do you think kind of happened here? Like what happened to bring this team so down? Was the ML a bait all along, or did something happen internally, you think?
I'm not so sure what happened with ML. I know about as much as everybody else knows about that. They tweeted out that he's retired. And he was over in Japan for the first couple weeks. Week three, I think he just missed the cutoff, so they had to use somebody else. And then obviously last week, Half Devil comes in instead of him. So that's all I know is the fact that he's retired. In terms of if they can come back from this, I definitely think they can. They just have to work on the issues that they have. And honestly, I feel like it's come down partly to drafting and partly down to some synergy is still missing from them. Whether that's due to lack of good practice or whether that's due to just them taking a bit too casually. You know, you have players that played on the world stage. You have players that considered some of the best in their roles. They're playing in the minor league rather than the pro league. They're not going to take it 100% initially, but as the competition starts to heat up, I imagine that they will, and we'll see them rise up again.
Yeah, it's really hard to see this team not succeed and not deliver on the promise. I mean, part of it has to be what you said, that these are guys who have been on the world stage, and maybe that competitive spark, like it's hard to see any of these guys, like it, hard to say rather, that any of these guys don't want to compete, that they're just kind of phoning it in, right? Because we know these guys compete at the highest level, wanted to win. They've blood, sweat, and tears have been poured into the game. They want to win, and that competitive drive is there. So it's hard to say that they're just phoning in, they don't care. It's got to be something behind the scenes. Maybe you know, Demi coached for a while, retired as a player, came back, a little bit of rust. I've seen him play. I don't think that's really the issue. It looks like a cross team. You've got Prime carrying the team at some moments on his back, looking as good as ever. And then it's just something across the board. There's a little bit of lack of synergy and a lack of vision, I guess it would feel like. They just don't feel like they're all on the same page. This out cold squad to me kind of really feels like the CLG of last year's SPL. They look amazing on paper. They should do all of this, but they're at odds with each other. Like what isn't working in the formula? It feels like it's something internal between the players themselves at this point.
Yeah, I can agree to that. And I personally do believe that, like I said before, drafting comes into it a bit, because game two against Alcold, we got King Arthur and Vermana in the same draft. I don't know.
Yeah. Does Outcold have a coach right now? Or no?
No, they don't. Think.
Was Hazer working as coach for a
bit? He was working as a sub. That's what's up, yeah. I don't think he's interested in coaching anymore, because he's obviously moved back to full-time work, and I don't think he has time to coach again.
Okay. So obviously, yeah, I mean, when every other team is moving towards having coaches, it's more and more imperative to have a coach to help you through that phase. Like, especially right now, because the meta is so malleable, and it's Schrodinger's meta right now. It is both defined and completely undefined. We have what seems to be working. There's a lot of stuff that works, and then it's like, well, what if we did this? And it's like, okay, that works too, I guess. We could do that, and really trying to figure that out. And you know, you look at teams like SSG and the SPL, who are slow on the uptake to really get into things. They're going to stick to like, oh, that's working for everybody else. All right, we're going to do that. Dibs, we're doing it, and they don't really expand on that. They don't know how to play outside of that, and it really hurts them in the long run. And I think that might be something we see now. Cold. I'm really disappointed, but on the other end. Lack of disappointment is, you know, Flashpoint, the Optimist Gang, Burrito, whatever you want to call it. These boys been together forever. At this point, has this team been together longer than what rival Cyclone Boys were together for?
I think they still need a couple more months, and then they will be. I can't remember exactly when they formed, but we were together as a five before they were, but it was sort of around the same time.
Right. These guys have been around forever. They've been playing forever with each other. I mean, Poppies have played with each other forever, but they finally started making changes that led them up. Flashpoint have stayed the same squad. They've stayed true to themselves. I think they, Ferricrick may came in at one point and replaced somebody who I don't even remember, because I remember him coming in as mid was a big deal. And then that was it. And that squad has shown, I mean, I remember when we first started talking about them, I mean, they were the budget Bruise Brothers, because Spanify and Fusify in the duo lane were like not as good as Jermaine and Darvidez, but kind of built from the same cloth. And now they're like, they're doing their own thing. They're really strong. Ferricrick is really coming to his own. Johnny has been amazing, consistently proving that he is an SPL quality jungle. And Sibby continues to prove that he is like the paragon of stability in that solo lane. Like, I don't think Sibby's ever been the most OP player on the battlefield, but he's never been the worst player either. He's just been, he is and always will be. He just is there holding it down. And I think he's made strides this year as well. Like, what do you think the biggest difference for Flashpoint this year was going from Optus Gang? They lost out to Insignum.
I think the biggest difference, and this is just to, this is also counteracts one of your points. I think the biggest difference has been Sibby. He has improved dramatically since the since towards the end of season 5. And a lot of people in the European scene sort of felt like Johnny was absolutely insane, could be on any SPL roster and do extremely well, but always came with the fact that he wanted to play with Sibby. And that caused issues with teams trying to pick him up. Obviously, he couldn't travel, so that also caused issues with teams trying to pick him up. But they stuck together, and Sibby's finally started to show a big stride in improvement and a big stride in his level of performance and his consistency. And it's starting to really show, because he's found a meta for himself in the solo lane, and he's starting to push that meta onto the mid lane, which helps with helps Ferricrick just get ahead even more. And the team just plays extremely well around their whole idea and their whole concept of, let's get the entire solo side of the map up and running and just steamroll as much as we can. And that plays right into Johnny's hands, as he is probably the single best player in the SML right now. I think him and Baskin are going to be the top two.
Those are big words to, like, immediately walking it back to recognize Baskin, but still saying, you know, no, I think right there with Baskin. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree either, right? Like, that's Johnny. I have been enraged at certain points watching this group of guys, the Eastern Europeans, get passed over for SPL opportunities. They kind of got shafted when the league, when they finally made the SPL, they were there. They weren't great. They were learning. You could see improvement through the year. And then the franchising happened. They got kicked out, and they just really got very unlucky on that. And I wonder what could have been had that team been able to play in the SPL against that talent for a year, for a second split. That would have been, I really want to see that reality, that version of the world. But I will agree. Sibby this year is probably the best he's looked in a long time. And that has really facilitated a lot, especially right now, because you can do so much out of the solo lane. If you get ahead, being able to rotate out and make big impactful things early, because the meta just is such a weird state where we're getting longer games, but we're getting more aggressive games and dive comps. And I think this really is a solo lane meta again. And I like that. I miss big aggressive solo laners after all of season 5. You know, I want big beefy boys going around the map causing havoc. But
as long as they're not King Arthur.
King Arthur is a little bit extreme in that. I'm really sad personally that we're not going to have a chance to see a Divios King Arthur before they play, right? Because I haven't seen them on the schedule yet. And then before they get nerfed. I want release broken King Arthur in the hands of Divios. And that would make
he
me
still
happy.
Technically is, even after this latest round of nerfs, because it doesn't really change much about the god. I mean, his ult costs about 40 mana now, rather than it being 3. So that's not going to change too much when you have Glad Shield just healing up all your mana as well.
But they're changing the Glad Shield interaction too, right?
No, they haven't changed the Glad Shield interaction, I don't think. The change which might be a bit impactful is they've reduced the energy gain rate of one of his abilities, which could slow down the charge of his ult a bit. He's still just 100% banned in Scrim, so we don't really know.
Yeah, so we don't even know how it works. We're just not playing it, you know.
Like, it's still King Arthur. Just ban him. Get him out of my life.
God, it's so crazy to see like pick bans right now. Like we just watched, you know, spoilers for the Dignitas and Rival set. We just saw like first two bans out of Dignitas was Kronos and what was the other one?
Right,
no, it was Isis, right? Those were the two bans they put on him, wasn't it?
No, top two bans. If you're talking about the game that I'm thinking about, it was Kronos Freya, and then Rival picked King Arthur first pick.
I'm talking about game five.
Game five.
Last, I think game five, or game. Why didn't
game five? King Arthur was banned. King Arthur was banned. Game five. It was game three. Was either game two or no? It was game. It was like just. It was any game. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No. So game four. Kronos Isis were the first two bans out of Dignitas. Yeah. So really, we're seeing like little mini metas develop even within sets and things like that, and that's really great to get the five game set. Wow. Absolutely awful. I absolutely love it. We may talk about that in a minute too. But back on track with Burrito. So you think, or Flashpoint, so many team names. He really gets confusing on a guy after following this scene for so gosh darn long. Looking at Flashpoint, did you think that they, going into this year in the split, would be able to do what they're doing? Do you think they'll be able to keep what they're doing? Or are people going to figure him out, and are they going to kind of do what they usually do, which is come, like, they're going to be a bridesmaid. Usually, they're never the bride. They don't get out.
I don't think anybody expected them to be at the top at this stage. If not to most fans, they thought Alcold were going to be at the top, and then there was just a toss-up between who was going to be second, third, and fourth. I'm not 100% surprised that they're at the top, but it is not the first prediction I would have made. Let's just leave it there. Will they be able
and
to keep it
continue.
Up?
Yeah.
That again has to be chalked up to how the meta evolves. If they manage to evolve along with it, if they continue to evolve and almost make the European SML meta, then they will stay on top. But if teams start to get ahead of them a bit, if teams start to, as you said, figure them out, if they're starting to put a chain of few losses together, then it'll be really difficult for them to get out of that rut, I feel.
Okay, I don't necessarily disagree. I think Flashpoint, when they're hot, they're hot, but they are prone to some cold streaks, and that's what's plagued them for so long. All of last year, I felt like they had these moments where they would look like such, they looked right there with Insignum, you couldn't tell which one was better. Then they would get better than Insignum, but then they'd fall down and they'd lose that whatever step that they had found again. So I'm interested to follow and see those guys. You look at Simplicity, your team, Queso. It's kind of a toss-up. Queso looks like they got off the slow start and then have now started game steam, gained those momentum. And I think it's where Flashpoint's kind of pulling ahead, is they kind of started with a bang right out the gate, which has helped them get to this lead. And Simplicity, I don't know what to feel about Simplicity. They haven't wowed me in their games. They haven't been, you know, a dog shit team. They've been kind of in that mediocre to average reign, I would say. And I really don't know what to expect of them going forward. And it's weird to say, looking at the team that they have, it's not a bad team. They're doing better than Out Cold, which is saying, I mean, I never would have thought that. I would have always put out Cold ahead of Simplicity, but Simplicity is at least delivering a little bit on some of the star power in the roster. I was about to ask, do you think that Queso will finish above Simplicity? Obviously, you're going to answer yes.
Obviously, I'm going to say no. Queso is going to finish top.
Yeah. but do you think Simplicity grows? Do you think they get better? Or do they kind of just ride this line of being just kind of we're here?
Difficult to say. If they start to chain a few losses together, they might actually start getting better. Which is a weird thing to say, but I think that if they do lose a couple sets in a row, they will start to, you know, get that need and get that drive to improve again and start improving some more. Whilst if they do reach the top, they obviously still want to make that and they obviously still will play the way that they play. But I feel like it's a team that will learn a lot more from losses than they do from wins. And if they, as bad as it says, if they time their losses correctly, they can be an unstoppable force in the league.
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side of that, I mean, that's, look at OutKold. Like, that's their situation right now. That's their make or break. If they have to do what you just said Simplicity might need to do if they get some losses. Like, OutKold is, a loss away from being knocked out of contention for this split, right? I mean, that's, they have to win out from here to have any sort of chance doing anything. I don't know. It's EOSML right now, at least, literally looks like Flashpoint's game. Some Queso has some momentum going up, and Simplicity and OutKold just looking stagnant. I don't know what their deal is. I want to see them kind of grow and improve. On the flip side of that, we've got NASML, and it really is just the Armada show. Baskin and the boys demolishing everybody. There's nothing even worth talking about. NASML is hands down going to Armada. There's just the only thing we know Armada at the top, Space Station Gold at the bottom, Sanguine and Cryptic are neck and neck. And just because Benny Q, I'm gonna say Sanguine finishes in second. That's how it shapes up.
I want to see Sanguine finish in second as well.
It'd be such a feel good story to see LATAM finally.
It would be as well.
Yeah. Space Station Gold though, I have ranted on it. Now I have another person here who kindred spirits. Does this Space Station Gold roster and spot anger you as much as it does me?
It angers, like, when they were first announced, it didn't anger me that much. I had a feeling that it was going to be a team that was focused around streaming, and I thought, okay, they're obviously not hedging their bets on being top two. But what they're doing is they're going to be there to grow the brand. They're going to be there to, you know, still provide a competitive edge in the SML. And that's sort of what the SML is there for, to help grow the players into superstars. And that'd sort of be the blueprint for other teams in the SML to follow to grow those players. But then when the story came out about the fact that they weren't really going to practice, and the excuse that came afterwards, I honestly don't really buy it that much, considering previously in the past, teams have had players go to school, they've had players who have jobs, and they find time to scrim outside of that. That's what I'm going to be, and that's why I really don't see how or why this Space Station Gold roster is going to continue being in the SML for much longer. I think that's it is a flaw in the system that Hyros have inadvertently created. I think it's something that they need to look at and fix. I honestly just want to see them, you know, if they start performing and they start improving, then fair game, they can stay, but by their own rules, if they go like 0-6 or 0-12, they have to be kicked out.
Yeah, it's, and I look at that roster, right? Maddie, the first, like, Maddie's a lightning rod for hate. I get it. And I like to be reserved on that. you know, Taco's a friend of mine. I don't have any real beef with Maddie. All his stuff with Maddie, because kind of before my time, I feel like. I mean, I was there for the Mythic stuff, and that was a little sketchy. But, you know, I don't have anything inherently with Maddie Pocket that a lot of the community seems to do. And I think his support play was... I think his support play has been decent. It's okay. It's SML quality support play. He just, like, if you throw any random name on that, it's fine. You don't blame that guy for losing everything.
Kind of
Oswald, great, yeah. Oswald's okay. Again, SML level ADC, not doing anything great, not doing anything bad. I mean, he does some things bad. He does more bad than he does okay. I will give him that. and then Choppa, I don't know. Choppa is the one I really feel for here. After seeing him in the console league and how much that dude cares, it really sucks. I look at these guys and I really feel like I feel bad for Choppa the most. Oswald, I kind of feel bad with, because he kind of, like, you don't say no to this opportunity, right? So he's kind of getting carried along for the ride and getting some shit on and getting hated. And then Mask, I would say I feel bad for Mask, but he's retired and unretired so many times, I don't know what his actual intentions are at this point. And then Uzzy, yeah, I feel bad for Uzzy, because dude just wants to play Smite and keeps getting in the worst situations because of Choppa on it. And I want to see... I saw this coming, and I didn't want to, and I've talked about it at length, so I won't really go on that much of a diatribe for it. But you look at this squad, and it's just a recreation of the last SSG Gold with Incon and the boys. It's a stream team. It gives a brand. You look at SSG's regular team, and it's kind of the same thing. There's definite changes that need to happen, but it's good for the brand, and it's good for building their image and all of that. And SSG, I don't feel like can make a change. Or they're like, they have these streamers, right? And they're not going to kick the streamers from the team. Those streamers, if this team gets relegated, though, there's Maddie Pocket still be SSG. Oswald will still be SSG. Maybe not Oswald, but Choppa will still be. And they're in the same boat. They're still good. And then they pick up, what, Solo Retrol's team? And they have a competitive roster all of a sudden. They go from the bottom of it to, like, hey, maybe our roster can, you know, get that second seed spot. It's I don't like it. And I had the same moment where, like, when it first got announced, I was like, all right, I'll reserve judgment. And then after the announcement of we're not going to scrim, I was like, oh, that's bullshit. And I know it's bullshit, and that sucks, and I hate you guys.
Yeah.
And I want them to succeed. I want them to do something, but not anymore. I was rooting for them to kind of...
I want to see Choppa go on. Yeah.
I want to see Choppa do something. That dude kills it. That I came into his stream the other day, and it was like walking into a Miami nightclub. Dude had club music banging, chat was lit, and I was like, this is Choppa stream. I can, all right, cool. Like, the dude gets into it, and I don't know. I'm sad. I'm sad that Choppa kind of gets held back, because he's a pretty good mid laner. Like, I've been actually impressed by his mid lane coming into the SML.
I think he's a good mid laner. He's a good jungler as well when he plays jungle. He's, you know, he's a solid player all around who has maybe not top level SPL. I think, like, mid, maybe even low level SPL potential right now. Could definitely go on to better things if he does get onto one of those SPL rosters. Or even if Space Station Gold look to make changes and make it a competitive roster, you will then see Choppa perform extremely well. And that could be attractive to an SPL team of any kind.
I mean, if I'm looking at that, right? If I'm now picking up, because we're going to promote... I mean, Solo Trolls team, I'm imagining, is the team that comes out of Combine. Yeah. I haven't followed Combine at all since, like, that first week. But I imagine it's Solo Trolls. So you have Solo Trolls solo. I think Kiermi was his jungle.
Yeah.
Do you keep Kiermi, or do you replace Kiermi with Choppa? That's a hard call for me. Like, I love Kiermi to death. I love Kiermaier, and it would suck for Kiermaier, but I think you go with Chapo at that point. He's gonna have, I almost guarantee he's gonna have the better comms. Like, no offense to Kiermaier, but Chapo won a console world on the back of his comms.
I think you have to discuss that with the team. If the team is extremely balanced around Kiermaier, then you have to keep Kiermaier. But if it's at the point where they feel like Kiermaier is the one holding them back, or if they feel like, you know, Chapo would make the team a lot better and, you know, Kiermaier's okay with it, then obviously I would also replace Kiermaier with Chapo.
I don't know that Kiermaier would ever be okay with it, but I think if Solo Troll the rest of the team, if that's an option, I don't know. That's hard. And that sucks. That's just another reason why this SSG Gold is absolute shit tier. It's just, there's so many guys in who would gladly be in that SML slot, working their ass off, scrimming as much as they could, and really putting the work in day in, day out. And I don't know. It just makes me mad. I gotta stop talking about it. So we'll move on from there.
Move on from SSG Gold to SSG and the SPL. There we go. There's your transition.
Yeah, there you go. That's the segue. Good. This is why Jackal is the honorary co-host. So SSG starting off the year really rough. They played the Knights last week and just got decimated. I don't know what to say at this point. They have a coach. They have a coach now. They have Plasma as a coach. I nothing against Plasma, but is he the guy to be their coach? I don't know. I don't think so. It's funny. Plasma is a former player of mine for like 2 weeks in the combine. So he's got some good instincts. He's got a decent mind for the game, but I think SSG needs something more, a lot more, to fix with their problems. Or I don't know. I'm still gonna say it. I'm prepared for the internet to shit on me and hate on me. I'm ready for you, Smite community. Jeff Hinla is washed up. Jeff Hinla is a bad SPL support. There you go. I've said it. I've been saying it since Worlds last year. I think Jeff was one of the bigger reasons on why they lost their set. His positioning, he turned into Wubbin. Jeff Hinla made Wubbin level positioning plays, and I will adhere to that. And then he's put, and that is not a hint, and it doesn't work. And they kept going to it, and it doesn't work. I think it's time for SSG to move on from Jeff, Barra, and Andy. At least one of those. Probably two. I would probably kick Andy and Jeff from that team. Jackal, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Go ahead. If you want to take the other side of this, go ahead. How am I crazy?
What they need is they need an SPL level coach. Again, nothing against Plasma. I don't really know the guy, but he sounds cool. He's obviously, you know, decent friend, and a good guy. Otherwise, you just wouldn't have him on the team. But it doesn't seem like he's offering the team as much as their team needs. And that's evidenced by the lack of change midway through the sets. If something goes extremely wrong during one or two of the games, the team makes an adjustment. They make it quicker if there's a coach that can, you know, help point that out and help make it obvious. It took them until Variety 1v4'd them to then realize, oh, we should probably not give up King Arthur. And he had a phenomenal performance on a game one. Every single high-level coach in the game will be going, yeah, we should probably ban that away from him or come up with another strategy to deal with it, one that we have practiced beforehand and one that we know will work. We don't have one that will work, so we're going to ban it. and they let it through again with the exact same intention, the exact same game plan that they had in game one. And that speaks to me that they're not really working on, you know, specific strategies to counter some of the best gods in the game. It speaks to me that they're not, you know, analyzing midway through the game and changing stuff midway through the set. And there seems to be a cohesion issue on the team. Every single time I've had a look at them in the past, they have been slow farmers. You see games where the kill count is 0 and 0 in 10 minutes. Space Station are behind 1,000, even 2,000 gold. That just comes down to bad farming altogether. And that sort of stuff needs to be changed. And if you like your catchers, they're just walking on past. You're not really going to see it. You need somebody to sit there and analyze it.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I look at this team, and I absolutely agree with that. They need a coach, and that might be contributing a lot to why I think the way that I do it, especially in regards of Andy and Jeff, and even Bear to an extent, but.
The biggest reason that I have to bring that up, and the biggest point I want to make for it, is the fact that they brought Dimion as a coach, and even though they only played one set at Worlds, it was the best Space Station I've looked in a long time. And they probably should have beat Dignitas. They threw game one.
I mean, I'll say it again. Jeff Hendler's positioning and decision making at Worlds around Fire Giant. Even if you just look at that one fight, you look at that and go, what was he trying to do? Like, it was, I don't know, it's, I'm more hypercritical of the old guard, right? Because I want to see fresh blood. I want to see the Pauls and Sams and all those guys who have been grinding it out get their shot, because a lot of the time we have the old guard. Weaken is one of those guys. No offense to Weekend. I love Kurt. He's a good friend of mine. Is he still one of the top junglers in the world? Does he beat out your Kiermes? Does he beat out your Johnnies and things like that? I don't know that I could say that, right? Same thing with...
This is the season for him to prove it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would absolutely love to see Kurt prove it. I don't have high expectations for his roster, but I would love to see them actually come out and do some work. It'd be funny as hell is what it would be, proving everybody wrong. But back to SSG, they need a coach. Hands down, before we can really tear into them anymore, they need a coach. We've said it 1,000 times. I don't know what's stopping them. You know, back in the day, I heard it was they didn't have a coach because Baskin didn't accept anybody as their coach because he wasn't going to get told how to play the game or what to do by someone who was worse than him. Or something along those lines. I don't know how true that was. That's just like the rumor mill that I've gotten. And I don't quite believe that because Baskin's, I want to believe, more professional than that. But then Baskin left. Okay, then what do you got? Still no goddamn coach. And then they finally get Demi. And Demi's got, what, a week, 2 weeks to really work with them? To really get anything going? And then that just doesn't do anything. And now they go into the season. Don't have a coach. I don't know what happened. They picked up Plasma, sure. But I know Plasma wasn't coaching them for the entire of the offseason, and they had that team together for forever. They have been scrimming without a coach. They're a chicken without a head, and it shows. They're running around. There's no cohesion. Veninu looks like he's regressed. Aquarius had a game where he looked really bad, and he got camped, and then he kind of like, okay, we're gonna not let that happen again, and he held his own again, but. Aquarius is the only player on this roster right now that looks like he belongs there. Looks like he's still holding toe to toe, and that's hard to say for an SPL roster like SSG. And on paper, going into the season, I wouldn't even have had them as the worst roster. But I think I'll say this: I think I absolutely believe that this SSG roster, as it stands right now, is a bottom three roster. I think SSG, LG, and Trifecta, you know, LG and Trifecta without them having played a game, you know, just looking at their roster and all the stuff that we kind of know about those players and the questions we have, I think SSG is down at that level after playing these two games. Granted, they did play Dignitas and then did play the Knights. And so maybe SSG looks a little bit better when they have a less stiff competition. But I don't know. Is it too early to call for some big changes for SSG without a coach, or do we need to give them some more time?
I think we need to give them some more time. And I've just had a look at my power rankings again. I've just brought them up, which is why the screen's gone like bright white, and this side looks like it's been touched by an angel. And I have SSG up in sixth. Based on positioning of where I think players will be able to perform. My actual prediction has them in seventh, with Renegades, who are in seventh, and the actual prediction is going above them. But that's just on the back of Cherryo being Cherryo.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say anything about Renegades because they haven't played yet, but I have lots of
I don't think they're going to play for a long time if Cherryo's tweets are to be believed.
Yeah, that would be rough. But yeah, so
or even if four of them go over, and this could be how he gets in. Like, if four people go over, they're gonna have to use a sub. We talked about him a lot. You know who I'm thinking of.
Hear me.
Yes.
Got it. Who would you grab? Who would you grab right there? Johnny?
Chapo.
Chapo, could see it. I don't know, Chapo. I Chapo on the team with Funball and Raph. Oh, that. And Nika,
that sounds like the party team.
That does not sound like a team that gets anything done. I would love to actually see Chapo. Like, I want to see you've got your Raph. Oh, like kind of. Old curmudgeon Raffer kind of show up, Funball kind of slink in, like kind of just like hit it. And then you've got Nika. I think Nika just like appears out of the shadows, just quietly looking at you. And you're just like, okay, hi. He's like, yes, hello. And then you've got Chapo coming in, like dancing, coming in, music blaring, lights going.
You just have like, to go into the SPL booth, and they're playing SPL, yeah. But they're playing an SPL drinking game, where every single time they die, take a shot or something.
They bring their own monitor speakers and everything. They've got, like, the soundproof booth bumping with just club music. That I could see. I would love that team, actually, now.
Yeah, that would be a team like Hyrus could market massive. Like, look at how much fun this team is having playing Smite. You should play Smite, too.
Yeah, they're the marketing team. They go to all the pubs and the bars and the stuff in the EU, and that'd be great. Okay, so we've talked enough about SSG. the only other teams I've played so far have been Dignitas and Knights, rival today, and SK. And I really want to get your thoughts because I think on that first day of games, we had the SK and the Knights game. And a lot of people look at that game and see the 3-0 by Knights and like, oh, yep, I expect that. They're the best team in the world. Yep, they're proving everything. SK gets 3-0. Nope, they suck or whatever. And that's not what I get at all from that game. I look at SK and like they're still young. They should have won two of those games handily.
Yep,
game three, they got obliterated. But if that was a 3-0, that was the weakest 3-0 I've ever seen in my life, I think. And the Knights, if that's the Knights, they're in trouble. I don't know. I might be labeled as a Knights hater. I don't believe the hype. I think there's a lot of problems with that roster behind the scenes, and they have a lot to take care of. And I feel like in those games, it wasn't them beating SK. It was SK beating SK. They had so many moments where they should have won, and they're like, oh, dropped it. Oh, adapting Penta killed us, or Quadra killed us. Oopsie-daisy. You know, it's like bad, bad decision-making, bad positioning at crucial moments. And I don't know, like... And then and then the very next game, Knights play SSG and obliterate them. And people are like, oh, yes, the Knights, they've got 2-3-0s. Ah, it's amazing. They're the best. It's like, well, they beat up SK and then they beat up SSG. I think it's a little early to say anything. I don't know. Do you have, you've got your power rankings, and do you think after watching the games we've seen so far, the Knights, Do you agree with all the casuals and the normies that Knights are the best Smite team?
Right now, after what I've seen, I think Dignitas are currently the best Smite team. I think right now Knights are going to be second. I think Rival and SK, I want to see how they perform against each other to decide where I'm going to place them. And then obviously Space Station, they just haven't looked good right now. We talked about that already.
Right.
I think in terms of the Knights, it's basically you walk up to like a table. There's just a guy sitting there, and he's got this big six-sided dice of Doom, and he rolls it at the beginning of the game. And if it lands on a six, you've instantly lost. He then picks it up, rolls it again at 5 minutes. If it lands a six, you lost. Does that every 5 minutes during the game, and that's just what the Knights are. The Knights are that person just on that table going, okay, I rolled a six, we've won the game. There's nothing you can do, we've won. And some teams are gonna go in there, they're gonna play their own game, and they're gonna avoid those six rolls, and those are the games where Knights aren't gonna look particularly strong, but they always have that opportunity to just randomly roll that six, get that synergy up in just one team fight, win it, because they have some of the best players individually in the world. And if they do click, even for just 5 minutes during a game, they are deadly and they can win. But it just comes down to, can they keep it up throughout the entire season? Can they keep it up for entire games, for the entire sets even?
They have such a volatile roster, like high highs and low lows. I mean, I love Vote, but I always make fun of him because he'll go out and get the pentakill, and then on like pushing down the Phoenix, he'll die to like mid camps. You're like, how did you do that? That was impressive. Like, I don't understand how that happened, but okay. Like, he just has those moments where like, how did you do that? Okay. In both directions. Like, how did you do that? Amazing. And how did you do that? Like, you missed 47 basic attacks in a row. You had all crit and didn't crit once. I don't understand how that's humanly possible. Like, I've never, not to bad trash talk your boy, right? Like, Vote has always been for me that, like, who knows what's gonna happen? They could go either way. Like, he'll either go full Zapman solo you, or he'll go full Zapman gonna feed. You know, there's not a lot of middle ground there. Well, I would say there's a lot of middle ground for him.
There's like this one scrim that I remember, and it's because Cover actually got a gif of it and posted it in the Discord afterwards, and Votes never lived it down since. We were scrimming Dardez's team back in season 5. I can't even remember which orc they were under.
Elevate?
No, that's season 4. Season 5.
Mouse.
That's the one. Yeah, Mouse. That's the one. One of the teams I left. That's how faded my memory is, and how much you just want to forget right. Season 5 and the end of it. But another story. So I remember that scrim because of this gif. He was playing Rahm, and Dardez was playing Jingwei. And Dardez was one health. Vote has all the time in the world to get this that one basic attack in and kill him. Takes 7 shots, misses all of them, and then dies because of Bologna rotation.
Yeah, that's Vote to me in a nutshell. Like, that's I've never been the guy like, oh, let's build a team around Vote. Like that, like, I like him, and he's got like really high highs. I think when he is on, he's probably one of the best ADCs in the world, but he just has that chaotic random factor that you never know if it's gonna go for you or against you. You look at Emilzy. A guy, really smart kid, has been plagued by the immature title, has been volatile, like susceptible to the emotions, and doesn't really know how to channel that sometimes, but really smart. And he's the catalyst for that entire team. I think if he can grow into the leader that everyone wants him to be, because I've heard some stuff behind the scenes, right, that he isn't that leader, and that's what he needs to be for this team. You look at that, that's why Raffer survived so long in that team. That's why Jeff has survived in the league so long. Jeff is the anti-tilt forever. Like, that is the gold standard in NA for anti-tilt, is Jeff Hinla. You look at Zero. Zeros has been on the best roster, quote-unquote, for 2 years and hasn't been able to get anything done. And how much was that him? How much was that team? There's a lot of synergy issues right there, but I think you can definitely look at their perfectionist of Zeros. You look at, like, what he wants to do, temperament, mannerisms, things like that. You got Adapting, who is Cucullin himself, who, you know, rages out in the middle of a game. Deathwalker, I think Deathwalker might be the most even-keeled, level-headed member of that team, by and large. I'm going down this road, and I'm like, huh, I really can't really think of anything negative to say about Deathwalker in this. Like, he's the most normal player on the team.
That's saying something.
Right? And so you put all that together, it's like, the Knights are just a weird mishmash of really strong parts, but will it come together? And I don't know.
The way people had a look at Knights is they went, okay, let's have a look at players at their maximum potential. The Knights look absolutely OP. And as at their maximum potential, I don't think they'll lose. If all five of them are playing at the best of their abilities, I don't think there's a team in the SPL right now that can beat them. But as we said, can they play at their maximum potential all the time? I doubt it. And if those issues that do plague them behind the scenes do come back to haunt them and do keep sufficing, they're not going to perform as well as they do. And if they don't perform as well as the fans expect them, if they don't perform as well as they expect them to themselves, it's on the coach, it's on Rowe to bring them back up, because they're going to start thinking, oh God, what's happening? We're not playing as well as we should be. And then they start to get a bit of doubts in their head.
Yeah. It'll be the living as a team factor is going to be big. And I think some teams will thrive off of that. Other teams won't. And it'll be interesting to see.
I think the Tests are going to thrive off that. I think the Tests are going to be absolutely living it.
Yeah. Dignitas for sure. That's a good group of guys. All right, so Knights, they got a lot of potential. Best if all potential team, they win. But can they hit that consistently? Probably not. And it'll be interesting to watch that. Got it. SK looks promising. Zatman has both looked like classic vintage Zatman and old man Zatman at the same time. Last season, what it felt like is he really took a step back and let it be the Paul and Sam show and everything. And this series, like, okay, that was fun and all. I'm Zatman. I'm going to go solo people again now. Okay? Okay. And they're like, all right, we can't control Zatman. He's going to go do that. And then Paul and Sam still look like they're really strong. Scary D for me on that team is the most improved player, I think, hands down. I really like what I've seen from him. So, I mean, we go from a guy who, the meme about Scary D is he couldn't play the game. That's why he played Amaterasu. He couldn't play early game. So he played gods that don't play early game. And then in the late game, he'd be great. Now he was beating up Deathwalker in lane. And that's crazy to me. Like, if you would have told me a year ago, 2 years ago, that Scary D, Bel Air now, would be beating up one of the quintessential top solo laners in the world, I would have laughed at you. Like, it's just that you don't, that's not something that exists in the world. But now that he's kind of managed to, like, rise up and really own this new solo meta, I really like SK's chances. I was really doubtful on, you know, I like keeping Neil, I like keeping Sam, I like keeping Paul. I was doubtful on is keeping Scary and Zap the right call. And I think so far, yeah, they look like that's a good squad to have kept around.
The thing about Scary D, though, is that we've been saying he's consistently improved and has been the most improvement he's ever seen. We've been saying that same sentence for about 2 years now. I do agree with your analysis on SK, though, that they do look incredibly strong, and, you know, they keeping the roster the same as it was the correct decision, and it was vindicated by their performance against the Knights, even though they did get 3-0'd first two games. They were theirs. They were their escades. And then some decisions happened, which meant that they didn't go to SK. But I do agree wholeheartedly that SK are a strong roster. They are going to perform better than the ranking than my power rankings did suggest. I think my power rankings suggested they were going to be a bit lower, but I'll talk back on that later. I just think we need to stop with the whole "this is Scary D's most improved season" bullshit, because whilst he has improved, it's only been very minor for the past year, I think. And he is a middle of the pack, maybe even pushing onto that top tier of solo laners. And the second we start realizing and start calling him for what he is, which is a very strong, solid solo laner, is the second we're going to realize that this SK roster is strong across the board and does have potential to take games off the top teams.
I think the problem is that this top of solo lane keeps getting higher and higher every year. Like, the pinnacle of what is to be a solo laner keeps growing. And Scary D is not the top of solo lane, right? So he's always kind of in the middle of the pack guy. But then he also keeps growing with that. Like, he doesn't stay stagnant, because if he stays stagnant, then he's out of the league. And then he's still that step below between the pinnacle, right? And it's like, wow, Scary D is still really good, turns out. Like, he's still kind of keeping up and keeping step with he's not fine, okay? He's not Deathwalker. He's not those top solo laners. But he doesn't look like he doesn't belong. And I think that's kind of like where the narrative probably comes from. I think it's where I am getting it. But yeah, I think SK, I want to see what this team does. I, you know, have hovered between being a believer, being not a believer, and after watching their games against Knights, I am a believer again. I think that this is a squad that can play upset to a lot of teams, and if they don't game plan for them, they can really be problematic. Looking at, I guess we'll go right into today's set. We had Dignitas versus Rival, and that was a really great set. We went to all five games. Dignitas 3-2s Rival, and Rival almost completes the reverse sweep, but then, you know, peters out at the end, and Dignitas comes back, goes, no. We're gonna win this. We're not dropping a set just yet. Dignitas going into this, to me, I probably would have said was the best team in the world. And I think this just kind of proves that they're resilient this year. Right off the bat, I'm gonna ask you, if this is last year's Dignitas team and it's the best of five, and they get in this position where they're about to be reverse swept, are they resilient enough to take out the W like they did today?
Online, yes. On LAN, no.
Yeah, I would agree to that. That right there just shows, I think a lot of people questioned Hurrywind mid. You had zeros. What are you doing? You could have picked up anybody else. Hurrywind? Really? Ataraxia? What has he ever done? You know, I think a lot of people sleep on what both of these players can really add to the team. And, you know, going from Arkle to Nate, and then going from zeros to Hurry is just night and day difference. And this squad, while individually not the best in every role, it's like I can't even say it's like Splice, because they just ascended to godhood in their run to worlds. Like, everything, nothing mattered. But they're not the best in every role, but the way that they synergize, the way they play together, makes them unbeatable. Is really what it's kind of feeling like. Dignitas is playing a very different type of Smite than I've seen them play in a long time, and it just feels special at this point.
And to me, that comes down to the fact that they have Hurrywind instead of zeros. As much as people are going to bash that statement and say, what the fuck are you saying? Zeros is much better than Hurrywind. You have to think about it like this. When you think of zeros, what sort of gods do you think of?
Morrigan right off the bat. And Thoth. Those are the two gods.
You think of Morrigan, you think of Thoth, you think of Sol, you think of Kronos, you think of Freya. Those are the five gods that he is particularly known for. Freya right now is an ADC. Isn't really playing in mid. You have Sol and Kronos, they're both fine mid laners. Thoth isn't really played in mid lane right now because of the, you know, buffs and nerfs that he's received. And Morrigan, after today, is probably going to be comp banned. So in terms of signature gods, in terms of gods that you know zeros for, two of them. Very limited god pool and very limited ideas around the draft. And that was one of the biggest weaknesses of Dignitas in the past two seasons, is the fact that you know exactly what zeros is going to play. You may play it exceptionally well and play it better than anybody you could get practice on against it, but you know he's still going to play it. And if you come with the correct game plan around it, you will be able to beat Dignitas. And I think that's exactly what Splice did in their 3-0 Dignitas, is they knew exactly what Dig were going to draft. They came up with a game plan around it, bang, 3-0. Space Station, like I said, they probably should have won that set 2-0, but they threw the first game. They had the exact same idea in mind. They knew that Zeros are going to pick these particular gods. We're going to play around them. Bang, we're going to get the 2-0. When you remove that sort of limited god pool from the mid lane and give somebody like Hurrywind, who does have one of the best Raijins in the world. He was probably the only Raijin player back when Raijin was like D tier, for example. He doesn't have that same limited god pool. I don't really think of anything but Raijin for Hurrywind. And that, as a coach, really does set some alarm bells ringing, because if I'm in the middle of the set, I'm thinking what he could pull out to surprise us. I'm thinking it could be anything. I don't know what else he's going to pick beyond Raijin without having a look at his games beforehand, because it could be legitimately anything. They could have practiced anything in that mid lane role. And that provides another level of fear factor. It's the fact that he can play a lot more gods than Zeros was willing to play. And that just elevates the amount of strategies available to Dignitas. That elevates the freedom for Huva, Fred, and Trickstank to do what they want. And we haven't even touched on the fact that the meta suits them a lot. This is a very heavy early game invade meta, and Trickstack and Cubo Fred eat that shit up for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, I will add on top of his Raijin, very well known for that Yanis he has as well. Ooh. That is, hands down, I think Hurry has been one of the best consistently. When we broke down this roster at the beginning of the year, right? I think you and I did. I called him a rich man's Nulissa. They both have a great Giannis. They don't straight out win you the game. They don't straight out lose you the game. And they kind of have a murky god pool. Hurrywind is kind of living up to that. Like, he's played some really great Giannis and then kind of played some other stuff in there. He's facilitated that team really nicely. And especially because you can throw an op wash at him, and he just has to kind of reactionary ult or ult in a way that kind of sets up the battlefield. He's a smart player, and having a guy that just shows up and does his job day in and day out is can't be understated. And I think that's like Hurry is going to do that every day, and I'm really excited to see what he does with all the Europeans on this roster. Dignitas for me. Best team in the world, especially after today. Rival looked really, really good. I looked at Rival, Knights, and Dignitas just at roster alone, probably my top three teams, hands down. And Rival came out swinging. I really liked what they had to show. They looked like they really meshed well off the bat. I had a lot of question marks on Pandacat, and he didn't answer them all. I feel like there were multiple deaths that were on him, just being aggro, you know, tweeted out like a few of those deaths on Pandacat were just being new to the mid position. And then Pandacat pretty much quickly fired back like, no, I just played like an idiot. And I think it's a little bit of both. Pandacat just plays really aggressively, and that's something you can get away with sometimes in the mid lane, but sometimes it's really not. I mean, you look at Geno making the jump from support to mid, and just sometimes his really aggression, I could beat the world, worked for them, and then sometimes it really, really didn't. That's why they, you know, didn't make it through the gauntlet, regionals, whatever it was called last year. Rival looks strong. Fine OK. I really liked finally seeing Fine OK versus Variety across five games. That was, I've been a huge Final K fan for forever now, so seeing him go toe-to-toe with Variety and get the better of him and not really get his ass handed to him, loved it, loved every second of it. And then watching, you know, these two powerhouse teams kind of go at each other, and watching the reverse sweep almost happen and then get shut down. I really liked it. Do you think that these are going to be this is going to be like the most informative set so far of like where the actual field will end up, as far as like power rankings and like which teams are for real and which teams are not going to be as strong?
I think I want to wait to see how E-United and Renegades perform before I sort of say, okay, my power rankings look good, or my power rankings are just completely off. Because right now, the teams are sitting where I sort of had them. I sort of had Knights sort of sitting at the top, Splice and Dignitas behind them, Rival up there as well, E-United are up there too. I had SSG and Renegades sort of at the same sort of level-ish. SK below them, and then Trifecta LG. So SK right now seems to be the team which I've dropped the ball on a lot. But I think it comes down to, you know, I had a look at the solo laners, and I thought, you know, Scary D, again, middle of the pack, really on the back of Sam, Paul, and maybe a bit of Zapman on that roster, as we did discuss. But so far, everything else is coming out quite well. Again, we'd like to see how Splice perform in this sort of new-ish meta. But I do think a big point to touch upon, though, is the fact that teams don't get an even amount of games on each patch. And when there's a big meta shift, you know, that can benefit some teams, and that could also hinder some teams. The patch just gone with the changes to a load of the top level gods, as well as changes to Assi and Akival. Teams are going to have to figure out what to do with this new information, what to do with this new meta, and obviously the changes to, you know, the dual lane and invades. It's almost a completely different game now. So the teams that have had to play already, they get less games on this new patch, which to a team that reacts badly in the early game to invades would be beneficial to them if they can play more games on this next patch, because invades are less likely to happen. They get a bit more time to get online and get to the team fight stage where they excel. I'm not sure how they can really factor for that. I think this season is a learning process for hirers as well. They have to find a way to make it available for the teams to practice at home on a patch that they're going to play on, but also make it fair in terms of competitive integrity where everybody gets the same amount of games on each patch.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think there's a lot of growing pains here moving towards the LAN, as far as like adjusting to what you can play on and then figuring out what to practice still, and that's kind of making it hard. I know every time I watch with friends, like the first two questions, like, which patch are they on? Are they this patch? Are they in the last patch? What's going on? Where are we at? So, you know, a lot of questions there. But I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. I really want to see if we could bring up the graphic for the SPL again. So we have, you know, the 2-3. Then tomorrow, Friday, we have Team Rival and the Knights, and we have Trifecta and SK. I'm really looking forward to those games tomorrow. Seeing how Rival, you know, they looked really strong against Dignitas. Can they beat Knights? You know, to me, I think we look at Dignitas, Rival, and Knights, and those are the top three. Where do we see Rival and the Knights kind of fall? If Rival kind of come in here and beat the Knights, I think our 1-2-3 is Dignitas, Rival, Knights, and you know, we might end up one of those situations, you know, back in the day where it was NRG, Rival, Dig Obey, where, all right, well, Obey beats Rival, okay, but Rival beats Dig, but NRG beats Dig, okay, so it's just like big long daisy chain of like, all right, who can beat who at the top? They can't beat each other, so we might end up something like that. I think competitively, what I would love to see, I would love to see Rival come in and beat the Knights, and then I don't. But again, do it again. So being a 3-2 and have that, and that would be competitively the most entertaining and interesting outcome, I feel like. But, you know, I'm a masochist and I want to watch games for like 11 hours tomorrow, so it'll be fun. I think, I don't know, what do you think? Do you rival nights tomorrow? If you were using that new fancy app that everybody's using to bet money, who would you bet your money on? You got 100 quid, and you gotta put it down on somebody.
I have to put it out on somebody. I can't bet a score line. I have to put it down on one.
You have to a win loss.
Ah. After the performances I've seen, I have to give it to Rival.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think they just looked more on the same page than Knights did. But like you said, Knights have that.
What I will suffice it though is I will say it is going to be a 3-2.
I would expect nothing less. I really want to see it go that far, and I think both of those teams have the ability to take those games off each other. And like you said, like Knights have that. Oh, I rolled a 6. I'm gonna win now. Any moment that could happen, especially with Adaptic playing Bakasura and Kali and all these super hyper carry gods. You know, I think that's definitely something we're gonna see more of as well. And it'll be interesting to see tomorrow too, because we saw the double guardians kind of come out again today. Is that where we're moving forward again, or are we going to see the Warriors kind of come back in that set? I'm curious to see where they kind of go, where they put their focus. But I think that's a good place to really kind of wind down our SPL talk. I don't think there's anything else. There's one other topic we could really hit about, but I think we're reaching towards time, and I really don't want to open that can of worms this week. Jekyll, you know what I'm talking about, and everybody else, you can speculate what it is, but it just keeps happening. But anyway, Jekyll, I appreciate you coming on and joining me. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you kind of do with Queso as we move on to the SML. I know I've been following the SML more than I ever have really this year, and it's been exciting. And Queso last week or this week, last games were really exciting and fun to watch. And I'm pretty sure you had something to do with that. So again, thanks for coming on short notice as well. Always love having you on. Is there anything you want to say before we kind of wrap the show up for the night?
Thanks to everybody who who's come on to watch the show. Thanks to everybody who, follows me on Twitter, follows me on Twitch, YouTube, whatever. I am coming to the end of my move into the new place. We actually just moved the first boxes earlier today. We're moving the sofa, not sofa, we're moving the bed and the computer desk and everything tomorrow, actually. Big steps there. First night in the new place tomorrow. So again, just thank you everybody for being patient in terms of content. Obviously, during this time has been hectic, so I couldn't really produce anything. It will be coming back soon. Shout outs to Team Queso. I think the organization itself has done extremely well in terms of promotion of their team. That video at the very beginning of their roster announcement was absolutely unbelievable. If you want to find me, you can follow me on Twitter at AlphaJackal, on Twitch AlphaJackal1, YouTube is /C/AlphaJackal. That's about it.
Yeah, all right, so before we go, Cake Man, for those who don't know, owner of Sanguine, is saying Sanguine 2-0 Armada. Cake Man, if Sanguine 2-0 Armada, I will get UGC to buy me another one of these hats, and I will eat it live on stream. You hear me? That you can clip that, you can tweet that out. I will eat this hat if Sanguine 2-0 Armada coming up. So
if Sanguine 2-0 Armada, what I will do is I will personally DM you, Cake Man, all of the juicy information that I know of the SPL.
I love it. Perfect. That's your motivation. Do with it what you will. My name's LHS. I've been your host. That's AlphaJackal. go give him a follow. Like, if you haven't already, I don't know what you're doing here if you haven't. But yeah, thanks for watching, everybody. And I'll see you around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.